Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Nazir Daf Samachay, Nazir Samachay, second to last daf in Mesechtas Nazir. We left off at the Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Dalet Amud Beis. The next room, the Mishnah and the Gemara today, most of the daf, is focused weiter on Dinei Tuma, a little less esoteric or abstract as yesterday's Tumas Tahayim and Tumas Safa Pneumayim. Today's daf deals very much with moving graves, moving people that were already buried and reinterring them somewhere else. The second Mishnah and today we'll get on to the topic of Negayim, the common thread in both Mishnayas, and there's a third Mishnah today's daf, Matra, if we'll get to it, is they're all focused on ideas of Raglayim Ladavar. We had mentioned in the last Mishnah, the last discussions, about the Nazir who went down to cool himself off in the mikveh, or to be mitar himself in the mikveh. We discussed if he was b'cheskas tar, and you find the mace there, if he's b'cheskas tar, b'cheskas tumah tamei, again, depending if it was tumah same or not, but the Mishnah brought up the idea of raglayim ladavar. Someone that's already b'cheskas tamei remains tamei, and vice versa, that's the idea of raglayim ladavar. So these Mishnayas, that's the reason why they have a place over here, is because the concept of raglayim ladavar, the Mishnah we're about to quote, is really word for word a Mishnah in Mesechtas Ayaleis. Again, it's quoted here because of the idea of a Gama Dover. Zakta Mishnah. Hamaitzi Meis Betchila. One who finds a Meis Betchila. Meaning, he chances upon, in the middle of a courtyard, in the middle of a field, wherever it is, he chances upon a mace. And up to this point, it was unknown that there was any mace buried there. The idea being, once it's unknown there's a mace buried there, we can assume that if this is the only mace found here, it was more of a temporary burial. Again, we're Samach Dalet Amud Beis 64b, right at the bottom of the page. The burial was a temporary burial, and therefore the mace can be moved. If it's a clear Beis HaKvaris, then the mace cannot be moved, because then it's clear that the mace was buried, that the mace sim were buried there to be kept there permanently. So says the Mishnah. Hamaitzi Meis Betchila, a person who finds a mace Betchila, where Samach Dalet Amud Beis, right at the bottom. He finds a mace for the first time in this location. First we need to discern, is the mace a yid or is the mace a guy? If it's a guy, also no problem, no halachic issues when moving the mace. We say as follows: Mushkav Kedarkai. If he's lying in a usual manner, the usual manner of marrying a yid is the feet outstretched, the arms folded over the chest. So even though it's a yid, nevertheless, tufas v'sasa. You can take this mace, move it with tfusas, that's with the earth around it. You move with the earth around it, we'll see more about that in the Gemara, but you move it with the earth around it, that's permissible, even though it's permissible to move it. Shnayim, if it's two corpses, two mason, still, you can take them, and the tfusa, the earth around it. Matzah shleisha, if you find three already, then we say, once it's three, that's already a simon of a basic verse. Says the Mishnah, im yesh bein zeh lezeh, midal amas vashmeina, Harizah Shchunas Kvaris. So the Mishnah just puts the space that you need to have these three mason buried within. If there's a separation between them anywhere from 4 amas to 8 amas, then that's called the Shchunas Kvaris. The idea being, they used to have these kind of like, I don't know, catacombs, I don't know what we call them exactly, but they used to have these to create a kind of a ches area where they'd have like slots where they would bury different mesim. Each mace slot would take up about 1 amma. They'd have an area that was 4 ammas wide by 8 ammas long. 4 ammas wide by 8 ammas long. So but along the width, there would be 3 mesim buried. And along the length, there would be 6 on each side. 6 each side. 6 mesim buried in the 8 amma length on each side, total 12. And 3 at the head, on the 4 amma space, there would be 3. I mean, if you have the Gemara have a picture. They have 3 buried on the 4 amma side. Essentially, each mace takes up roughly an amma of width, and there's a little bit of extra space in between. So the point is that the assumption that it was a planned burial area, planned cemetery, a basic forest, fits if you have 3 mason within an amount of space, then it would make sense that it was buried in this type of manner. Then we assume it was a permanent burial, and therefore, I raise the shkunas forest, and the mason cannot be moved. Badek Heimenu, will Allah as Rama. Another din is he now has to search from that spot outwards of 20 amas. He's got to go, this is 20 amas, to see if there's any more mace in there. And if there's another mace within 20 amas, that mace is also considered to be part of his permanent burial. The reason is the Gemara elsewhere goes through, because if you take, they used to have a 4x8 section where you had on both sides, on 3 sides, a mace. Then you opened up into a kind of a small courtyard area, and then you'd have another one of those four by eights. So if you do, the courtyard area was roughly 6 amas by 6 amas. So if you do 8 by 8 plus 6, you have, it's actually roughly 22 amas. The Gemara over there discusses, where do we get the number 20? It should be either 18 or 20 or 22. But either way, the point is, if you find a mace, without getting to that nuance, if you find a mace within 20 amas, it could be assumed it's part of the same twin, we'll call it, again, I don't know if the right word is catacombs, burial, we'll call it burial chambers. It's part of the one of these twin burial chambers, and therefore it's considered a permanent grave, and it cannot be moved. If you find one mace within 20 amas, you got to check another 20 amas. Why? Here the key words, why the Mishnayos is over here in Sait, in Nazir, Shereglayim Ledavar. There's Reglayim Ledavar, Shilitchila Matzai, Nedlevis Fuzasai. The Mishnah speaks to that. The reason why we're worried about these single graves, almost 20 amas away, is because it's Reglayim Ledavar, because we already established there is a Kfura here of three people being buried. It seems like it's a place of Kfura, and therefore we're concerned about the one mace, the lone mace found 20 amas away, is Reglayim Ledavar. Had there not been Reglayim Ledavar, one mace found by itself would not create any issue. You'd be able to take that mace and the earth around it and move it. Okay. Now, a couple of points before we see the Gemara. What is Taka the Issa to move a mace? We're saying that if it's a permanent burial, then you cannot move the mace. If it's temporary, then you can move the mace. What is the Issa of moving a mace? So the Kobe explains the Issa is it brings a charada sadin, a fear of judgment onto the mace. When the mace becomes exposed again, it brings a fear that he's brought back up to judgment. And therefore, it's usher for us to put the mace through that charada, through that fear. Now, Yehuda says, interesting guideline, Yehuda says that only when there's still flesh on the bones, only then is there still charada sadin, is there concern. Once the flesh is fully disintegrated, it's only bones there, no longer do you have this concern, so this issue of charada sadin will no longer apply. Other charam arguments say, why? Well, who says that the charada sadin is totally in the flesh, and there being still flesh there? There's other charam disagree in Yehuda, and say charada sadin continues even long after the body has disintegrated. The Chacham Tzvi says, the isser of moving a mace is considered nivel hamace by exposing the mace is considered nivel hamace. It's a little different. Kesher Chaim says it's b'zayin hamace. Two different ideas. One is b'zayin for the mace to be exposed. One is that it's being manavel the mace by exposing it. Either way, it would seem like if the mace is being moved, but it's not being uncovered, like our mace are in a casket, they're in a casket, and it's not being uncovered at all, maybe you wouldn't have b'zayin mace, maybe you still have, maybe it's still called b'zayin, but nivla mace, maybe you wouldn't have if it's not being exposed. It's only if the mace is exposed. So the Chacham Tzvi's issue of nivla mace perhaps wouldn't apply the way we bury here in North America, where it's in the, I think by law it has to be, I believe, in a casket, in Eretz Yisrael. It's not, and could be over there more of a concern. Ramesha writes that the moment a mace dies, there's an obligation to bury the mace as soon as possible. So the issur of moving a mace is really the same issur as delaying burial in the first place. You don't have to come up with a new idea. There's a mitzvah to bury the mace as soon as possible. Delaying the burial is a problem. And who adin, uncovering and exposing it, is that same issur, because the mace is in a state of not being buried, and that itself is an issur. But those are the various reasons, again, quickly to go over outside, charadis adin, the Nayibuda, the Chacham Tzvi says nivel hamace. The Geshur Chaim says b'zayin hamace. Rashi says it's the issur of the mace not being buried. Now, what are the potential reasons why we would move a mace? Okay, even if it's saying if it's permanent, you can't move it. If it's temporary, then the issur doesn't apply, and the mace could be moved. Even though some of those reasons would seemingly still apply, but since it's temporary, there's an allowance to move the mace. What would be? You're not going to move the mace. Tam. You're not going to move the mace for no reason. What would be the reasons to move a mace? So the basic reasons brought either is for the cover of the mace itself. It's buried in a place that is not b'kavadik for the mace to be. It's not b'kavadik for the mace. That is the Ritva Svara, similar to this idea is brought elsewhere, to be b'kivri avos, and people want to be buried with their family members, with the rest of the family, and for some reason someone didn't have a chance to be buried with the family, he's buried somewhere else, but now the opportunity arises to bury with the family, that'll be a reason to move the nifter, to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, of course, which is a whole big topic in itself. Some people, find basic in Gedalim that were very into it. Yaakov Avinu, of course, asked, it's come up in the Gemara in a moment, Yaakov Avinu asked to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. You find the concept, others say, Chas v'shalom, only Yaakov Avinu and Tzadikim should be brought to Eretz Yisrael. The rest of us who are not on that Madrega should specifically not be brought to Eretz Yisrael, to only go to Eretz Yisrael if they speak out. If we're living in Eretz Yisrael during our lifetimes, of course we should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. But if we're not living their lifetimes just to take our tummy bodies to Eretz Yisrael, that's not, they're against the practice. Again, obviously, it's a very commonly accepted practice, but there's a big discussion with Achrayim about whether it's the right thing to do, or I think it actually goes back to Rishayim already, whether it's the right thing to do or not, fine, but to be buried in Israel would be considered reason enough for those that obviously hold that it's a good thing. It would be reason enough to move a mace. And lastly, Rambam brings a svara to clear an area of tumah. Let's say a mace is buried temporarily somewhere because the circumstance was has to be buried there. But now the area has tumah, and this was a temporary burial anyway. You're allowed to move the mace to clear out an area of tumah. So again, to clear the area from tumah, to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, to be buried by Kefir Avos, or if it's for some reason it's not a dignified place for the mace to be buried, those will all be reasons to move the mace. Okay, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Matzah, prat lematzi. Being like a Mishnah over here. It's a Mishnah. It's not a Pasuk. It's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, you found a grave. Sounds like it was a new find. That comes to exclude a grave that already was matzah, meaning a known grave that a person was buried there purpose, he can't move. If it was known to be, a person was buried there purpose to be there permanently, he can't move it. Matzah means it was found. It was, seems like it was some, it was put there, the mace was put there haphazardly or temporarily, therefore can be moved. Another, a couple of other diukim, mace, prat laharim. When the Mishnah says, again, these are Mamish addressing the Mishnah like Ezra, it's like a Pasuk. Mace, when the Mishnah says mace, that comes to exclude hurrying. The din of not being able to move a mace is dafka when it's someone that died naturally. But if he was murdered, then the halacha is that it won't become a shkunas kvaras. The idea is when you have three maces together, shkunas kvaras, when it's someone that was murdered won't be shkunas kvaras. We'll see why in a moment. The idea basically is that only when you have an intact mace does it create this din of shkunas kvaras. What that should be? Halacha b'shvisinai. Logically, if he's buried there, even though the guy's murdered, if he was buried there with intent for it to be a permanent burial spot, just because he was murdered, why should not get a status of shkunas kvaras? So it seems to be halacha b'shvisinai. That's a nice way of saying we don't know. It's like exactly custom. We don't know halacha b'shvisinai. But the idea is that if it was a mace that's intact, we're concerned. Once he's really not intact, and typically the person that was murdered is not going to be intact, then halacha is no din of shkunas kvaras. Mushkav prat liyeshiv. Mishnah says the mace was found lying properly, that comes to exclude sitting. Why? If sitting, if mace was buried sitting, that would be the way a guy buries the mace. It wouldn't be, we have to be concerned that it's a yid. Kedar guy, the reshiration wouldn't have been yakaisim. Similarly, lying as mushkav, kedar guy, lying properly comes to again exclude where his head was placed between his thighs. Again, that would be a way perhaps a guy would be buried, but not a yid. Tani ulubachanina, so all those cases won't have a din of shkunas kvaras, won't be, have to be concerned that's a proper cemetery, either because it's missing, we can assume it's gayim not yidin, or because the body wasn't intact, doesn't meet the criteria. Tani ulubachanina, mace shechasar, ein leitfusav leishkunas kvaras. So along these lines, kvaras. Along these lines, chanina tawarabraisa, that a mace that's not complete does not have a din of tfusa, there's no din of having to take the earth around it, nor does it have the din of shkunas kvaras. Kalani, my time alai. What's the reason why we're saying it doesn't include it? It's not included in this din. I'm reading Dilma Vichavu. Kohani is going, first explained, not on the mace that's not intact. It's going back on the case of sitting down or even lying, but with the head pressed between the thighs. Those cases, not considered a shkunas kvaras. The reason is, I'm reading Dilma Vichavu because we say perhaps it's likely that it's a guy, not a yid, and therefore it doesn't have a din of shkunas Vichavu. Of shkunas kvaras of a graveyard, of a cemetery that can't be moved. Matzah Shnayim. What if this is a new Braisa, which is going to elaborate on a Mishnah? Matzah Shnayim. What if you find two graves? Reisha Shazab Tzab Barakalaisa Shazab. The head of one mace was at the feet of the other one. Reisha Shazab Tzab Barakalaisa Shazab. And the head of the other one was at the feet of the first one. Ein lem tfusa, v'lei shkunas kvaras. Again, they don't have tfusa, nor they have shkunas kvaras. The first point that we're talking about, there's a third mace there buried as well. If there would be a third mace there, anyway you need three mace till you get the dinim of shkunas kvaras of being considered a proper cemetery. We're talking about where there was indeed a third mace, but two out of the three were buried head by feet. So that's not the normal way that they do a Yiddish burial, and therefore we say that we assume these are the graves of Goyim, and the din of shkunas kvaras doesn't take effect. Says Gemara, ein lam tfusa v'lei shkunas kvaras. Matzah shleisha, what if you find three graves? Echad yudu av shnayim tchila. What if you find three graves? One that was actually known previously, so it was known to be buried on purpose, but two that now being now found for the first time. Ay, echad tchila av shnayim yiduim. Or one is being found for the first time, and two were known. Says the Gemara, Allah is Yesh Tfusa. We switch the Girsa, we have the Girsa of Yesh Tfusa. In this case, Tfusa, it does have a din of, if you're moving the graves, you have to take the earth with it. But Eveinlam Shkunas Kvaras, it doesn't have Shkunas Kvaras, because since it wasn't all three known at once, meaning it has to be of the same status. Interesting. We had said in the Mishnah, again, logic is not going to prevail over here. We had said in the Mishnah that if a person digs and finds three graves, that's called Shkunas Torahs. Here we're saying if you knew about one and not the other two, and you found two, or you knew about two and found the other one, so you have a total of three, it won't have been Shkunas Torahs. So the irony is, if I find three lechatchila, I didn't even know they were there, people the society didn't know they were there, we say they must have been buried with purpose, and it's called Shkunas Torahs. If three, of course, you knew about Metchila, that's obvious, that's a close Shkunas Torahs. But if you have a total of three, but it's a mix and match, some you knew about, some you didn't know about, for some reason, that's not going to be Shkunas Torahs. You want to ask me the logic? I don't know. L'chaira, this would clearly be, on the face of it, a halacha b'Shul Sinai. That is how Tosfos brings, Echa, you do look at the Tosfos or Masechta, like towards, right towards the bottom of the Gemara, right on the side of the last line of the page in the Gemara. Tayser Masla Echad brings Rishpam Pirish Halacha L'Meishim Mesinai. Rishpam says L'Meishim Mesinai. Now he brings a reed that seems to give a hesber. I don't really fully understand it. I just read the words. Re Pirish Tam Bedaver. The Ein Lanu Leim Hashkunas Kvuras Basic Kvaras Haya Hal V'Nikvisham Gimel Mesim Kiven the Echad Neidel Tchila Iisa the Ein Daitei. The Ein Daitei Elaf Mesim V'Lasiyam Shal Kivrei Keiched Yadu Lanu Echad Yiduim Lanu Isam Shimei. There's a logic to say that there should have been knowledge the same level of all three. The fact that you know one, not the other, would indicate that it was all temporary. The fact that you know one, not the other, would indicate, or two, not the other, would indicate temporary. Why that is, I'm not sure. I don't really fully grasp it, but again, Tosfos brings from the Rashbam, it's Halacha L'Meishim Mesinai, which again, is the easy way out, that we don't understand the logic, it's just the way it is. The Reed gives a hesber that somehow that when there's a different status of knowledge between the kvarim, then the three don't combine. So interesting enough, and the Mishnah is spelled out for us right now. Maisa, Rabbi Shevav, Shabbat Kamatzah Shneim, Yidu Abechad Chilo, is the story of Rabbi Shevav, who went by basic verse and he found one that was unknown, and two, it was discovered for the first time, and two that are previously known about. Ubikash has a Shkunas Kvaras, and he wanted to say, ah, there's three mason here, let's call this a Shkunas Kvaras, and therefore we should treat it like a camp, immovable graves, that's a proper graveyard. Amalei Rabbi Akiva, Kol She Yigata, Lerik Yigata. All the yigia you have on this is for nothing, meaning your efforts trying to make this a Shkunas Kvaras is mistaken. Le Amr Shkunas Kvaras, Ella, the Gilma Yaduin, Aishlesha Tchila. Either or, says Rabbi Akiva, we only, this verse anymore says black and white, we only say the three graves together have a din of Ishunas Kvaras if all three were known about, or all three were discovered at the same, right, and the same discovery, they all discovered. But if some were known and some were discovered, then we don't mix and match to get Ishunas Kvaras. Okay. We had said in the Mishnah, Nailin Vest Fuzasim, when the Mesim are considered allowed to be moved, the temporary, you're allowed to move them, you move it with the Tfusa, with this Tfusa. Heichidami Tfusa, what is really what the Mormis ask? Normally, Heichidami, this again, Lashon Asa Mishuna, we will be switching on to back to the regular type of Lashon in just 2 days. By the way, we're also going to be switching back to regular size blot, the blot in Mesechtas Nazir and the Durim. We've been, in a sense, spoiled. On the other hand, even though we have that different Lashonis and some, especially in Nazir, some more interesting Kachim, Tyrus, Tikkun Gemaras, we have been spoiled with shorter plot. Right away in the beginning of Masechta Seita, it brings we get back to the regular size daf. Okay, but the when we say Heichi Dami Tfusa over here, it doesn't really mean Heichi Dami. What it really means is, how do we know there's a concept of Tfusa? It's almost like Menon Emili. How do we know this idea of Tfusa? We'll see the sheer Tfusa in two more, three more lines. That's going to be a different discussion. But how do we know there's a concern of Tfusa? Says Gemara Amar Vehuda, Amar Kra, Unusasani Mitzrayim. Yaakov says, carry me out of Mitzrayim when we take Tarchetamin, Tul Imi. Take Mitzrayim with me, not Nisani Mitzrayim, means take with me Mitzrayim. Take Mitzrayim with me. We see that Yaakov is saying that when I'm buried, when I moved there to Israel, take some of the earth of Mitzrayim with me. Now there is a big discussion in the Rishonim. Yaakov was never buried in Mitzrayim. Yaakov was nifter Mitzrayim, and Yosef went and got permission from Bari, and he was buried the first time in Israel. There was no Tfusa. So how on earth could this be the source that you have to take Tfusa of land when you have this case that we're learning it from? Yaakov wasn't even buried. So some of the Mishnah explain Rishonim Ritva, but Bavasu says that Yaakov understood there's a possibility that he may not be buried right away in Eretz Yisrael, straight away. Maybe buried first in Mitzrayim, and then be moved to Eretz Yisrael. So the Lashon that Yaakov gave in his instructions still would be an indication of what we have to do. We have to take, if we're medayik these words, of Tulma Mitzrayim, it makes sense that Yaakov would say that because of the tzad that he was would have been buried temporarily in Mitzrayim before being moved to Eretz Yisrael. As a summon, the Rambam indeed learns it's takva only asmachta. This source is asmachta. It's a dindrabanan. This type of tfus is dindrabanan because it can't be that Yaakov really meant this because Yaakov wasn't buried in Chutz Laaretz, and therefore the Rambam learns it's takva only an asmachta balma. It is not a real drasha, not a real din of tfusa Fine. Now, why is there, before we go further, in the shear of Tusa, why is there a shear of, why is there a din of Tusa Bechlal? What would be the concept behind it? So there's two Mahalchim given in the Rishonim, maybe more, but two basic Mahalchim. One is of Kavan HaMeis. The Meis, as it disintegrates, there could be some dam, some lecha of the Meis, when the body disintegrates, that gets, you know, absorbed into the earth around it. And therefore, it's of Kavan HaMeis to get all the Meis, to take all the Meis with you. In the moving, it makes sense to take the earth, the dirt, around the Meis. The Rashbam says no. The reason is Al-Tumma. We don't want to leave Tumma. We don't want to leave Tumma. You have to know exactly what the dinim are with this Tumma, Rekav, remember, this corpse toss and all that. We discussed earlier in the Masechta these ideas of Tumma when you have remnants of mace in the ground. Okay, but the concern is Tumma. We want to remove all the particles of mace in order to avoid any issues of Tumma, and therefore you take Tfusa, you take some earth around it. Big nafmina is, now let's see Bizman Azeh. Where Tumma is not, unfortunately, we're all talking, Tumma is not such a concern. Would there still be a major kapeid on Tfusa or not? If it's a Vara that's covered on Mace, it would be fully in effect. If it's a Vara of Tumma, that could be, we're not so worried about a little Tumma. If a person's being moved, let's say, from a burial spot somewhere in North America, that's Israel, we're not so worried about the Tumma of that spot where the person's being moved from. So maybe there would not be an issue with Tfusa. It's actually a Machlaikas Lamaisa. It's a Machlaikas Halach Lamaisa, whether or not we're Makbin on Tfusa, Bisman Azeh or not. If I'm not mistaken, the Shekharach Tak leaves the out. Shekharach doesn't even bring the Tfusa. It's a Machlaikas Halach Lamaisa. If we're particular, if we're Makbin, we'll meet. Move a mace for whatever reason when a mace is moved, if we're makbid on Tfusa or not. Now, just before we go to the next Gemara about what the shear is, why Taka was Yaakov? Why do you want so badly to go to be buried in Israel? Why not be buried in Mitzrayim? Just to chazarov, we know Rashi and Chumash already brings three reasons, but Rashi quotes the Medrash, and the Medrash actually inside the Medrash quotes two more reasons. There's five reasons. Either Rashi brings that Yaakov didn't want to be in the ground of Mitzrayim when there's going to be a Makas Kinim, specifically the Makas of the lice, was going to be bad for the, he knew it was going to be bad for the Mesim on the ground, or he knew about eventually when we go back to Eretz Yisrael, there's going to be Gilgul, the idea of Gilgul Kfarim. Well, everyone's going to be brought back to Eretz Yisrael, to Tichas Mesim, they will be brought back to Eretz Yisrael, and they're going to have Gilgul Kfarim, rolling of the graves only to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't want to have Gilgul Kfarim. Or he was scared they could make him a tafay to Zara. So those are the three reasons brought by Rashi in Parashas Vayechi. The Medrash adds two other reasons that Tchias HaMesim will take place earlier for those in Yisrael than for those outside. So Yaakov Avinu want to be in Yisrael where Tchias HaMesim takes place first. And lastly, the Medrash brings that dying and being buried in Mitzrayim and then being dug up and buried again. Sorry. Being buried in Chutzlar, as I should say, and then being brought up at Tchias HaMesim and then being buried again in Eretz Yisrael would be like dying twice. I guess I said it wrong the first time, because if you, according to what we explained before, Yaakov knew this possibility, he's going to be buried temporarily in Mitzrayim and then brought to Israel. Apparently that wouldn't be cool like dying twice, but dying, being buried in Mitzrayim, and then much later being having Tchias HaMesim and then eventually being in Israel would be like dying twice. So therefore he wanted to be brought in right away into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but the psuk in Yaakov, when it says he wants to be moved to Israel, says a drash, a lashon of, take me to Mitzrayim, and we dash from there, there should be tfusa, some earth should be brought with it. Says the Gemara, v'kam shir tfusa. So what exactly is the shear of earth that should be brought with him, with a person, pirshav lazer, neitil afer tetuach. You take all the soft dirt around the maze, and then even when you get to the hard dirt, the chayfer b'psula kimatzpais. In the psula soil, the virgin soil, the soil that's hard, that wasn't, you know, that wasn't moved yet, you dig in three finger breadth depth, and you take that with. Meisvei, Esmar Kasha, that we see in this Prisa, there's going to be a mention of moving Kvarim and no mention of the three fingers of depth. The Kamashir Tfusa, Hamashir Tfusa, Pishra Blazar Batzadik, Abazadik, presumably the same Abazad that we just discussed. Neitlas, I guess when you take the chips of wood, Vesa Kasasa is the clumps of earth, because we assume we get clumpy from the residue of the mace. Clumping up the earth, Vizarikas of Adam, you throw away that which is certainly not part of the mace's body, Umanechas of Sphinkus, and you leave that which is questionable as well. Actually, they say Yumaniach means you leave it together with the mace. You take that with you. It's funny, Lash Maniach means you leave it, you don't compare to Zarkin. You throw away the Vadai that's not part of the mace, and you leave with the mace whatever suffic part of the mace. Vashar and Sarf Loray Vinyanish Mace. And the remainder is all counted to see if you have a shear of Rav of the Vinyan of the mace, Rav Atzamas, Kordakav Atzamas, Lamali Taf Rekev, the big spoonful of corpse dust that we had, all these ideas. what's left is almost starved to make that shear. Okay, but the Brice, when it discusses what you take with, it doesn't make any mention of taking with 3 fingers of depth into the earth. It doesn't seem to be like what we said over here by us from Rabbi Elazar. Or if you learn that both Rabbi Elazar and Tzadik, the steamer in Rabbi Elazar Tzadik himself, answers the Gemara, Hudama Kaitana. So here the Gemara is saying it's the Nesekalim. The Mefarshim of here, the Girsas, correct that what we quoted before was not Rav Elazar Tzadik as a Tana being quoted the Braisa. What we quoted before was Rav Elazar Meira, and it fits well with this Lashon. Rav Elazar Meira says like the following Tana, the following Braisa. Who don't make a Tana? Rav Elazar Meira says you take 3 fingers of depth. Taka is at odds with the Braisa we just quoted, because he goes like the following Braisa, the Tanya we learned, Kama Shir, Tfusa, how big is the Shir Tfusa? Amar Bechim Shem Benazai, Neitel Afri Tituach, the Chayfer Bifsula Shlash, it's very clear, you take these, any soft earth, and you dig down into the hard soil, three fingers, so that's exactly like where Blazer was going, that's the Shita, he got it from this Tana. Okay. Baidik Emenu, we said the Mishnah, you search from there, 20 Amos, V'chulei, Tap of Amid Beis, Amareva. Badak upana, badak upana. What if he checked his field and he found a body and he removed it? Stop a guy who goes to his field, he checks, he finds a body and he removes it. He then goes and checks further and he finds a second body. Badak veshach, he checks further and finds a third body. So he had already moved the first two bodies. That's the idea. He checked, he saw one body by itself and he moved it. Remember, the halacha is you only have to check up to 20 amos and leave everything where it is. And once you find three mesim together. If he found only one mace, you let him move it. He found, he was playing dick check, found one mace, moved it. He then found the second mace and moved it. Then he found the third mace and realized, oive, it comes out that retroactively there were 3 mace here. So what's the halacha? Lo yahai mafnile, l'gabi hanuch trey, l'hanuch trey, l'gabi haichad. In this first version of Rava, we have, the psak is, you don't move back the two bodies that moved already, but you cannot move the third body. You don't move back the two bodies that moved already, but they were moved. You're allowed to move them because you didn't have 3 mesim yet. But you cannot move the third body because the third body, it clear, was part of 3 mesim that are buried permanently. That's lashon number one. Ignami, some say, Amar Rav says, Kibush Shinu Rishus Lifnais, the final line. Unbelievable. Since he had Rishus to move the first two bodies, he did that with permission. That was Mutter. Now, there is no Shkunus Kvaris because there's only one body left. One body left doesn't make Shkunus Kvaris. So now, you're able to move even the third body. The Shvin Shkunus Kvaris, the more asked, why is that Shkunus Kvaris? Amar Rish Lakish, Ila Matza, Mitar Ancestral. Because we want to be Mitar as much very well as possible. So to be able to move this third body and clear out whichever area it was, Rambam says that's one of the basic ideas of moving bodies bichlal, is to make areas, certain areas, clean from tumma. So we try to make ourselves as clean from tumma as possible, since two already moved and you only have one here and one is not a shkunus kvaris, even logically you had three initially, you used to know about it, we say as long as we have any leniency, we're makel to allow to move the body. The Mefarshim explained the rush speaks out that the Ila Matzah of Tirat Israel is because since Lamaisa, even with three bodies, it's not 100% sure that it was a basic verse. It's likely, but it's not guaranteed. That's the Rush speaks out, which comes out that according to the Rush, our Gemara's Kula of Ila Matzah, in this case, that you let him move the third body once two is already moved, is only where there's at least a little doubt. Even though likely we've said three is already Mistavrit, Shulas Kvaris, there's some doubt if we can move it. But what if you knew for sure? What if there was a big sign you found or you discovered in the history and in the historical papers of the town, that this is a clear basic verse, even if there's only one body left, you wouldn't be able to move it. Right? Because according to the way the Rush is learning, the Ila Matzah is based on the fact that it was not guaranteed. So Vaday, it's only Mistaver, it's most likely that's a shortest course, but not 100%. Now, before we see Zach Klein Gemara.
This is even if he didn't check, obviously. Otherwise, he would have found the others.
Right. Well, the halacha is when you find one mace, you let him move it. That's how Kol Hagedus is. The Mishnah said, when you find one mace, you don't have to check. Only once you happen to chance upon three, you got to check. So, in the case we're saying he didn't do anything wrong, you're asking good Shiloh, what would be if he was negligent and he purposely didn't check? But again, I don't know, because the halacha doesn't require him to check. So I don't know what would be called.
You say he doesn't have to check.
Okay. No, yeah, if he finds one, he doesn't have to check. Only when he finds three in a close proximity, he's now mechuyif to check up 20 amos. But till he finds a three, he wasn't mechuyif to check. So he did nothing out of line. He didn't misbehave. Now, there's a related shaila, interesting, brought down in the Paiskim, Legabe, a Sefer Torah. What shaila is a Sefer Torah? Chuvas Rashba brings that if you find a mistake, you find a mistake in Sefer Torah, of course, you fix it. What if you find three mistakes in Sefer Torah? Once you have three mistakes, it's like Becheskas, that it's Muga, that it has some mistakes, and you got to do a full Padika on those Sefer Torah. You got to check the whole thing properly from scratch. You got to check one thing from scratch. Okay, that's the Chuvah Rashba's halacha. Comes along the Pesachei Chuvah, and he brings from a Sefer Pneyena, that what if one finds a mistake in Sefer Torah, and he fixes it? He finds a second mistake, and he fixes it. And then he finds a third mistake. Do we say you found three mistakes and now you have the din of Jewish Rashi, you have to check the whole thing? Or do we say right now you only have one? Our Gemara. Since we see that you never had three mistakes at once, it remains b'chassas kasher, and you don't have to go check it, just like in our Gemara, since the two mason were already moved, it doesn't get into the shchus kvaras, and you're allowed to move it, it doesn't get the status of shchus kvaras. That is the psak for the Sefer Pnei Yonah. The Pesach Yuvim others passing away as well. However, the Pesach Yuvim himself, in his Pirish Nachas Svi, Sefer Nachas Svi, he writes that you can't be right from our Gemara. Our Gemara, we said, the reason why we're making this, Amar Rish Lakish, Elamatz of a Tirei Yisrael. They found a base to be Mekel. You don't have three. And like we pointed out for the Rush, we added for the Rush that it wasn't guaranteed to be a base course, and therefore Mekel. But it sounds like Daf, because you're trying to be Tirei Yisrael, are we being Mekel? But Mekel taste to apply that logic anywhere else, and therefore Adraba, by Sefer Torah, if you ultimately have three mistakes, find three mistakes, even if the first two have already been corrected, maybe there should be a concern, you should have to recheck it again. The simple Svara to say, not like the Nachas Svi, not like the Mishnah Tshuva, is Sefer Torah also. We're not interested in messing up and in passing or making issues with Sefer Torah. So maybe similar, just like you have a Svar of Ila Matzah, maybe there's a similar Svar of Sefer Torah, but that is, again, interesting discussion in the Achrayim as relates, where, you know, from the most far-flung places to find Rayas, we have a Raya, a discussion at least, based on our Gemara, based on whether we say that once it was fixed already, is it part of the Chazakah or not? This is a topic that could be related. We're picking Sefer Torah, it can relate to other cases as well. Says the Gemara, Badak Masrim Amav Lehmatzah, my, what if you check 20 amas and you didn't find anything? Amrashibar, Yirmi Amrav, Shkunas Kfaras. The lach is, it is a Shkunas Kfaras. It still remains, it keeps the status of a Shkunas Kfaras, meaning even though you didn't find any additional graves, you had the first three, and they still have the status of a Shkunas Kfaras. Now, the Rush takes out this Gersa, because according to the way the Rush is explaining it, our Chiddush is that even though you think you have to find more Mesim to have it cemented as a basic Kfaras, even though it was saying, no, even though you didn't find Mesim, we cement it, L'chumra, as a basic Kfaras, and it's Tameh. The Gemara's next words wouldn't make sense. My Taima, again, same words, Amar Shakish, Ila Matzah, Vatir Yisrael, they found the Ila to be Matar Yisrael, L'chumra, it's opposite, we're saying opposite. We're saying that we are, I don't want to say we're Machmer, but we assume that these three Kfaras remain a Shkunas Kfaras, even if you don't find any Kfaram, those three Kfaras remain Tameh, and remain a basic Kfaras. L'chumra, we have to put these, that last sentence, take it out of the Gemara. Okay, it's like the Mishnah. Kol Safik Negayim. Any Safik about Saras. Safik if he was a Mitzayr or not. The halacha is as follows. Batchila Tar, till he was paskind, actually, that, till he was known to be Tameh, we say the Safik remains Tar. Achlein Nizkik L'tumma. As long as he hasn't been confirmed to be Tameh, he remains Tar, he remains Becheskas Tara. However, Mishanisca Klatumma, once he's already been confirmed to be Tameh, now there's a suffix whether or not his Saras was such that he's Tameh. The basic case is, let's say there are two people on the observation, and one had a bigger starting point, one had a smaller starting point of a Saras, and then when they came back to recheck, it wasn't clear who was the original one with the bigger and the smaller one, and now there's doubt. So we say, if they're already in a Matzav of Tumma, and the question is being Matar, we go Lechumra, Sveika Tameh. If they're both in a Matzav of Tar, we go Kula, Sveika is going to be Tar. This is again back to the similar idea of Ragnar Medavar. Says Gemara, Menon Emili, how do we know this idea? Amar Yehuda Amarav, Amar Kra, Latare. The Pasuk says Latare or Latame. The Pasuk says to be Matar him or to be Matar him by the Pasuk of Taras. What does it prefer? It puts first the Tare. So we say, when in doubt, Hayil, Upasach, Akasa, Batara, Tchila, since the Pasuk starts the Tare first, we say that if it's in doubt, and we're not sure that he's Tameh, we say he remains Tare. What's the obvious question? But if you say Tare always goes first, so whenever you have a Safik, you should go first to Tare, whether he's Becheskas Tare or he already was deemed Tameh, you should still go first, because Tare is first. Yachi, Afilim, Mishnuskin, Tameh, Nami, Sveik, Tare, even once he's already been established as Tameh, the Sveik should remain Tare. El Elmer says you're right. Kiyatmar to Rav Yudam Rav, when you see Rav Yudam Rav's source, Vatar al-Tamay, it's on the following, it was said on the following Mishnah. Ahitmar. It was said on this Mishnah, of course, this is the Mishnah in Mesechtas Negayim. In Beharis, Kadmel Seir Lavan, especially the fourth parak. If the Beharis comes before the Seir Lavan, so Beharis is the white spot, if it preceded the white hairs, which are white spot with white hairs, Simani Tumma, if the Beharis came first, Tamay, you have a white spot which developed two white hairs, we say it's Tameh. If say love cut the hairs, but if the white hairs were there before the hairs, Tar, then it's Tar. Safik, if it's the doubt what was first, Tameh. Tanakhama says by Safik is Tameh, Rishu Amar, Kea. Kea means, Kea is the lashon that's actually used by the color of the Negayim, that if it got lighter in color, that's a symbol that the Nazir, that the Mitzayr is getting better, that the Tzara is going away. But okay, but Rabbi Shua says, the lach is, it's Kea. My Kea, what type of lach does that mean? That it became lighter, became faint, what does that mean? Avuda, Kea Vitar, I mean, we view it like a faint color, and it's Tar. In fact, Rav Dibble Kevatar, maybe it means Kevatar. How do you know Rav Shua means Kevatar? So on that, I'm Rav Dibble Rav, I'm Akal Latar Latamai. The Pasuk says Latarai Latamai to make a tar or to make it tame. Since the pasuk started with tara, we lean towards tara in such a case of suffix over tuma. We say kea means kea v'tara, kea is tar, not tame. We go to the more lenient side. We do have a couple minutes. We can start. We can go. Let's learn the next mishnah. Says the mishnah v'shivet v'ram breaking us azav. Again, with the context of reglam adav, as we shall see, there's seven ways we check this up. Just to give us a little background, a ziva by a male is he has an emission from the body a little bit different than. Then Kerry, apparently, and then Zera. Apparently, the consistency is a little bit different. I forget. I think it's a little thicker, we say, than the regular Zera. So, the halacha is, if a person is a Zav, once he sees one Riyah, he's like a Balkeri, in that he goes to the mikveh, he's Tameh. He goes to the mikveh, and by nightfall, he's Tar. One day, goes to the mikveh, he's Tar by that night. So, as long as he goes to the mikveh that day, he's Tar that night. And that's with any person that ever is Tameh, Tumas Kerry. If he has Bia, he has Tashmish, relations, he goes to the mikveh, and by nightfall, he's going to be Tar. That's the dinner of a Zav, he sees one Riyah. A Zav who sees two Riyas, a male Zav who sees two Riyas, now he's Tamei for 7 days. He's Tamei and he has to say better. He only can become Tar, go to the mikveh after 7 clean days. He needs 7 clean days. A Zav Baal Shlalish Riyas actually has to be a korban on the 8th in addition to 7 clean days. He has to be a korban on the 8th. Okay, we're not going to, if I remember correctly, focus so much on, well, let's see, on the third Riyah right now. We're focused, right, we'll see maybe tomorrow a little bit. We're focused more on Zav who has the Riyah, and we want to know if his Riyahs are going to make him this Tamei Tumas Zav, that he's going to have to keep 7 clean days. That's our discussion. So says the Mishnah, B'shivet V'racham B'yitkev Zav. In 7 ways, we check the Zav, Ashley Niskev L'Ziva, until he's been established to be Tamei Ziva. So really what that means is, until he gets to a level of 2 Riyahs, we check seven ways to see if there's an excuse, we'll use that word, or other an explanation for the Ziva, some of the explanation that we're about to have in the Mishnah. So then we say it won't have the din of regular Ziva, and it will not make him Tamei for 7 days. However, once he's already established, we'll see later in the Mishnah, as a Zav, the next line, once he's already established as a Zav, he already has seen twice, he's ready to keep 17 days, then already all these Einzim will not help. Once he has to keep 17 days, all these Einzim will still be another Riyah, and it'll ruin his count, he'll have to start from scratch. Says the Mishnah, what are the ways we check? Macha Mishnah, we check the foods that he ate or drank. Sometimes, if a person eats very fatty foods, he drinks milk, cheese, eggs, he drinks wine. So these are different things that can bring on a ziva. And we say since these foods bring on a ziva, such a ziva would not cause a person to become tamei. But masa kvitz v'cheli, maybe carrying a heavy load, jumping, cheli is sickness. But marav hirer, sight, or hirer is thought. So thought is obviously thought of relations or something like that. Sight, some say also, is he noticed, let's say, other people engaging in physical activity, other people, either other humans or someone say animals or birds, he saw that. Others say Mara is a fear. He saw something scary. That's the idea of sight. Either way, those all were called explanations outside of the class of Tumma of why he had a Ziva, why he had this discharge, and he will not become Tummy. Mishnah Ziva, once he's already been established to be Tummy Tumma Ziva, he already had 2 Riyas. Ain't bite can I say, we no longer check him. Once he's established to have 2 Riyas, he's already now mechuyev to keep 7 clean days, and you don't check him for the third Riyah that he has, because the third Riyah will either way be mechayev to be a carbon, no matter, even if he has one of these connections to what we just listed in the Mishnah, or it'll ruin his 7 clean days. That Riyah is going to ruin his 7 clean days that he's keeping. Says the Mishnah further, Einzai. Anybody can say, we don't check him, because the reason why not is because Einzai, whether he's Einus, whether he's a Sveika, a Suffolk, whether it's Shikva Zarei to Mayim, even if it's Einus, even if it's a Suffolk, even if it's Shikva Zarei, all are going to be considered Tamei Shar Glamadavr. You can have a Glamadavr to say he's in the status of someone that has a Zav that is going to be seeing these discharges. Hamakas Chaveri, one who hits his friend, Vamdil Lamisa, and the doctor said that this was a death blow, and the victim is going to die from this. Vahakam Mashaya, and then the victim got a little better. He got a second wind, a turn for the better. And then afterwards, it got worse again and he died. Chayev, the halacha is the person who originally hit him is chayev. We don't say that he got better from that blow and something else killed him. We connect it back. Doctors assessed after he was hit and he's going to die from these blows. And we say that the person who did it, again, if he has warrant, was warned, there's aid in there, he's going to be chayev, capital punishment, he's chayev misa for killing this person. Rechayev Eber, no, pater, shoy glamadavar. Rechayev says, no, he's pater. Why? Again, raglamadavar. Raglamadavar, since he took a turn for the better, he got better, it's Megam Dov to say he was already on the mend, even though he ultimately died, it wasn't from that guy's blow, and therefore he won't be killed. That's a simple tie. Gemara is going to elaborate more on this this idea of Reb Nechemia. Let's pause over here. We'll pick up Reb Nechemia tomorrow. For now,